Spirit and touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. It sounds odd to begin this sermon with the phrase, one of the joys of lockdown, especially then when there was not much joy for so many people because of it, and for all kinds of reasons, from an increase in domestic violence to loss of jobs, increased anxiety and mental health issues, to the painful and raw emotion of death and bereavement. But whilst acknowledging all of those things, and also acknowledging that individually and collectively, we have not even begun to scrape the surface of the grief we will all need to look at and come to terms with in the coming months, I still want to start with the phrase, one of the joys of lockdown, and then continue, was being so aware of the natural world around me. Being able to watch literally on a daily basis the blossom on the apple tree growing, the figs on the fig tree ripening, hearing the birds sing and watching them fly in and out of the garden. Walking to the top of Robinswood Hill became my daily exercise, as I could do that from the vicarage. And each time I walked up there, something else had changed. And it became a comfort and a joy to me to know that whilst the rest of the world was standing still, although actually everything was also changing on an hourly basis and stress levels were high, there was no stopping creation. And it went on in its own steady pattern of change, not stopping and not stressing, not worrying and not being worried into any other course of action. It would simply get on with spring and then summer. Creation also showed its incredible ability to bounce back when it was given a chance to heal, when it was given space and time without the pressure of humanity and the pollution we put out into the atmosphere. The skies became clear and people were able to breathe. Strangely paradoxical when we were living with a virus that took the breath of so many away around the world. In the end, it was the natural world that got me through lockdown, and I wouldn't be surprised if many of you were the same. And the months since of gradual easing into the outside world. I recognise more fully how my spirituality and my sense of God is bound up in the natural world around me. How my sense of peace and my ability to make decisions comes when I am walking in beautiful countryside. It definitely does not come from sitting behind a computer. The walks and the noticing of the natural world around me became my prayer. And I became really aware that this wasn't an individual prayer, but it was a prayer that was caught up into the prayer and praise of the angels with the whole of the created order. As we heard from that reading in Revelation, day and night they sing and praise God, holy, 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 constantly around the throne. And we join in with that. And that knowledge of joining in, of being part of something bigger and wider, became really clear to me because of creation and the wider world. And as lockdown eased and we were able to travel further afield for exercise, I found myself heading for Crickley Hill on a rather regular basis. From a very early age, our family would always walk here each Sunday afternoon. And as I grew through my teenage years, with all the angst and emotion of those times, I would seek that space out. Then I always had to go with someone who could drive me. But as I got older, I remembered this place and would take myself there. Acknowledging that this was a place that I found God most. Acknowledging that this was the prayer, my prayer. And actually, just because I wasn't on my knees in a church, didn't make any difference to God. God could hear that prayer, and my prayer was joining in with the prayer of the whole of the created order. And actually, as I thought about it, and I look back at the pattern of my visits to Crickley Hill over my life, I can see that actually it matches my relationship with God. There were times in my late teens and early 20s where I didn't even think about it, let alone seek it out, exactly what I had done with God. And often I go there when I need to think something through or have a particular situation that is troubling, either personal or professional. Almost, as I say, like going to God in prayer. But most often the view and the smell and the beauty of the place is imprinted upon my subconscious, like a presence with me throughout the days when I cannot go there, just as God is with me now in my life. A tangible presence that is not necessarily consciously acknowledged in every single second of the day, but I know just is. Remember that I am of God. And God saying to Moses, I am. And then those I am statements all through the Gospel of John that Jesus gives us. I am. He just is. And that is what I was getting from creation, but also from our own prayer lives and how we come together and we gather together for worship. And then we're sent back out, but we're not sent back out as individuals. We are, but we're sent back out as part of the whole of the created order to live for and to praise God in all that we do. The view from Crickley Hill is particularly exceptional on a clear day. You've got the whole of the Severn Vale laid out, and then you've got from the left Robinswood Hill, Churchdown Hill, May Hill, and as you look further you see the Brecon Beacons, and you can go even sometimes to Sugarloaf Mountain in Wales. And as you go to the right you've got Leckhampton Hill and Cleve Hill and Breedon Hill, and then you've got the majesty of the Malvern Hills, the oldest hills in our country. And when you stand as one person and you look at all of that creation, you're reminded that actually whatever is going on in your life and in the life of the world is just for a fleeting moment, really. Because those hills and valleys put into perspective the shortness of life. Those hills have been there for thousands, millions of years, and will be there for much longer than me. And it helps to put into perspective whatever the anxiety or troubling thing is, and enables me to rejoice and to give thanks to God. It centers me, revives my relationship with the earth I stand upon, and the Creator who loves me so much, all he wants is my love in return. It is what Job and his friends come to realize. In the middle of his pain and misfortune and testing, he's asked to consider the wondrous works of God, and in so doing, learn to not live life in his own strength or his own vision or his own wisdom, but to see in the whole of the created world the awesome majesty of the one who will not abandon his creation. It might feel like it to Job, but God will not abandon him. It might feel like that for us today as we grapple with whatever is going on in our lives in addition to pandemic, but God will not abandon us. It definitely felt like that to Jesus as he hung on the cross, but God did not abandon him. God brought resurrection and new life instead. True, suffering had to come first, and there is no denying the suffering in our world as we look around. But God always brings something new, and usually something we don't expect. The whole of the created order reminds us constantly of death and resurrection, reminds us of the mysterious movement of God, ever shifting, even when we don't notice or pay attention. Shifting us and shifting the world. This God of ours, awesome and terrible in all majesty, who speaks light and then there is light, who brings order out of chaos, who holds all things in his hands. This is the God that the disciples see at work in the boat when they cry out in fear, "We are perishing. How many of us this morning would like to cry out as we look at the world in all its pain and agony, and not just because of pandemic, but because of climate change, climate poverty, inequality and injustice on so many levels. Corruption, inhumanity, greed, jealousy, abuse of power, abuse of words, both spoken and written, war, violence, slavery. I could go on and on and on and on. How many of us want to cry out to God or anyone who will listen? We are perishing. I know I do. And how many of us this morning think God is sleeping on the job? Be honest now. How many times in the last 6 months have you wondered, where is God? I don't think it every day, but sometimes when I can't see a way through the storms, it feels as if he is asleep on the job. And it also feels that I cannot shake him and wake him up. But let's imagine for a moment I could wake God and say to him, Lord, save us. What would his response be? What would he say to you if you could shake him and wake him up? And you said, Lord, save us. What would his response be? I think his response to me would be the same as the disciples got. He would question my faith and ask, why are you afraid? What's there to be afraid of? The disciples watch as Jesus stands in the bow of the boat and rebukes the wind and the sea and stops the storm. He shows them exactly who he is, and yet this seems to frighten them even more than the storm did. Who, they ask, is this man? Who can get even the winds and the sea to obey him? The easy answer is the answer that will help us answer the question, why are you afraid, too. Who is this man? He is God the Creator, who, because of that, has all power over the whole of the created order. Why am I afraid? Because actually sometimes my faith is too little, and I forget or do not wholly trust that this man I have promised to follow, this man who has given me salvation and redemption, is God the Creator, who because of that has all power over the whole of the created order, including power over viruses and death, including pandemics and change. The more complex answer is, this is the Lord your God, who is part of the Holy and Almighty Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working together to bring creation into being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have authority over all of creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who watch the turning of the seasons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who hold all things in their hand. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are seated on the throne and yet active in the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gather us all up in the eternal love of the Trinity, that even when our faith is little and when we cry out, we are perishing, Lord, save us, and seem to hear no answer, we can be assured and certain that it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, who will bring us peace and hope at the last, who will calm those troubled seas, the troubled fears in our hearts and minds, who will, if we allow, give peace. In our reading from Revelation, it's almost a terrible picture painted of the mighty awesomeness of God, but also, as I said, of the constant praise and prayer that echoes around the throne. Angels and archangels in the constant praise and prayer so that we can join in with them. The throne on which God is seated has flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder, and in front, seven flaming torches, which are the spirits of God. The whole of creation, those flashes of lightning are the flashes of the Word into nothing, bringing forth light, the earth, the seas, and all that dwell upon it and within them. As our Creator, who brought us forth into the world and gave us the world to steward, We need to somehow be less like the disciples crying out, "We are perishing," and instead sit with God and listen for his will for us and work with him to support the whole of creation to flourish, enabling one another and the world in which we live to know calm and peace, striving for justice for the whole of creation. And when you think about that throne and the flashes of lightning, the peals of thunder, the rumbling, the seven flames in front, it feels like it's not approachable. And yet, we can approach it and we can trust in God the Creator because of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us and intercedes for us in the whole of that prayer and praise. What an amazing thought to think that you or I might be able to approach that throne because of Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, invite us to join with them in bringing about the kingdom of God in this world. And so we give thanks for the whole of creation, for our Creator God, who stands and rebukes the winds and the sea, takes the storm and holds it for us. I wonder what it is that you need to do this week that might allow you to remember that you are part of the bigger praise and prayer that continues day and night and allows you to know more fully the trusting love of God, so that our faith isn't too little. Our faith can grow and develop each and every day of our lives. I wonder what that is for you this week, and I pray that you might be able to find whatever it is. Amen.